the Mom Genus Podcast. Two dental hygienists who became friends and later became moms, who understand the struggles, the joys, and the self-doubt of raising kids, staying sane, and working. Listen to our regular conversations about everything except the kitchen sink.
Welcome to the Mom Genus Podcast with Christy, Jasmine, and Karen. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Mom Genus Podcast. This is Jasmine. Karen and Christy are not able to be here with us for this interview, but I can't wait to talk with our guests this evening, which is whatever time you're listening to it, Samantha Griffin. I am so excited to have you on this podcast. Let me briefly introduce you to our listeners. She is an impassioned woman who unequivocally believes in the voices of women, especially Black women, and trusts their decisions regarding their bodies, their children, and their families. She is a certified birth doula and postpartum doula and certified childbirth educator. She came to realization that as one woman, she could only support one woman at any given time. With strengths in leadership, education, and organization, Samantha multiplied her efforts, yes, by founding DC Metro Maternity, a boutique parenting support agency. She brought on a team of other passionate female certified doulas of color, and together they have been supporting Black families in the DC, suburban Maryland, and Northern Virginia area since 2018. Although her specialization is working with women of color, she accepts all women and, of course, wants to help make them feel empowered in their own bodies and in their decisions as parents. So welcome to the show.
It's so good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so very much excited about this because actually, I wish this was a conversation I heard before I was ready to have children. Mm. And I think that there isn't a normalization of empowerment before having children. You know, it's just an expectation to get pregnant and procreate, but nothing like this. These are the struggles and challenges that are going to happen. Like, how do you get through it? Or these are the challenges you're going to face in your seeking of healthcare. So
yeah,
I think it's really important to see a woman like you who has built something this magnificent, honestly, and is focused on that.
Thank you. It's so important to me. And I think I came to doula work in a different way. Lots of people come after they have their own kids, but I started seeing women around me and even very young mothers, girls around me, that just seemed like they would go into motherhood. And like you said, there's no discussion of what the challenges are, how you get through them. It's like it just happens to people. And I just find that unacceptable.
You know, I appreciate that. I didn't even know what a doula was, honestly, until I went into the world of cloth diapering.
And oh, that'll do it.
Oh my gosh.
That'll do it. So how did you get into cloth diapering but hadn't heard of a doula? That's interesting.
I had no idea they existed, honestly. So I went into cloth diapering because I wind up graduating from college, getting married, and then maybe a year and a half later, I was expecting my first. Well, I didn't have any money. Like, it was so expensive. No one could help me. I was having horrible time with getting my child to latch. So then we had to get formula. And so I was in an HMO, you know, insurance base. So they just run you in like running the mill, you know?
Yes.
And so no one was really there to help support me. So I was like, this next go around, I want to breastfeed exclusively. And I want to have cloth diapering, not for the environment, but for my pockets.
Yes. I will say, like, when it works, breastfeeding and cloth diapering is like, it's cheaper. You don't have those, you know, weekly, monthly bills, like with the formula and the disposables.
Yes. Like my wipes are cloth. I had cloth. Yes. I had cloth pads. I was going hard.
Who knew you were like ahead of the curve, like so chic and with it and hip.
Exactly. And I got the modern ones. I didn't use the whole, like, you know, with the safety pin. I had
Oh,
the
yeah, no,
modern
we don't.
cloth diapers.
Yeah, the safety pins, that's a lot to ask. I think, like, the, what do they call them? The pre-fold or the insert. And then
Yes.
you get, like, the cute little fluffy bottom. And then you almost save money on baby clothes, too, because, like, their butt is cute now. And so you're set.
Yeah. Right? You know it, Samantha. Oh my goodness, you
Yep.
know it. So it's interesting that you became a doula before having children.
Yeah.
So there has to be you mentioned a little bit about your why, but was there like any pivotal story or anything a part of your journey or anything that you saw that really pushed you forward in that direction?
Yeah, I mean, I think to start with, I've always been like a woman's woman. You know the phrase like a man's man? Like, okay, cool, that's fine. But I've always had like a best friend, a group of girlfriends in college. I was always surrounded by other women. And when I left school, I started working in nonprofits. It was 2009, so of course the economy was crap. And there were jobs in nonprofits helping people. And the first like big girl job that I had was working with girls in foster care. And this was in DC. And at the time, maybe it's different now, but this was, yeah, it was over 10 years ago now. About one in three girls was leaving the foster care system with a baby. And so I saw this in the girls that I worked with, and these young women were brilliant. They used to go down to city council and like testify and say everything that should happen in their lives and how like the city and their surroundings should treat them better. And then magically, they would have a baby. And I'm like, wait, where did this come from? What's happening? And so I'm nosy. So I sit down and talk to them. And none of them really told any sort of a story that sounded happy. They sounded lonely. They sounded scared. And I didn't know much about what birth should be like, but I knew that wasn't it. And so I started doing some Googling, and I think that's how I heard about like birth classes and doulas for the first time. And then after that job, I ended up working at another organization that was specifically focused on Black women's health. And I, for the first time, found out about a lot of the struggles that we have when, like, as a community, when we're going through pregnancy and childbirth. And it was really scary. But I also remember thinking, like, it shouldn't be like this. There has to be something that can be done. So initially, I thought that I would be a midwife and like actually catch babies. And we can talk about the difference between a doula and a midwife, but I thought that I wanted to like catch babies and open up a clinic. What I found out though is that like I still really just like being around other women. I don't want to go to nursing school, God forbid, going to med school, becoming an OB. Like that is not my jam. But I can sit down and talk to you about your body, about the huge change in identity that's about to come for you, about like how to actually get answers from your doctor, how to get your partner, boyfriend, wife, whoever, like on the same team as you, and like how to get you back to work. Like I can do all of that because that's like being a best friend, just a very specialized one.
It's true. It's really true. And, you know, I had such a more pleasant experience when I had a doula at my
Yeah.
second birth. And she was the one that let me know it was okay for me to follow my birth plan or to let it go
Yep.
or to, you know, honor just the whole entire process. Before the birth, during the birth, and even postpartum. Like it was, and she was a student. What was so interesting is that I was her last one she needed
I love that.
before she finished.
I love that.
And it was such an amazing experience. She even took photos during the birth, which were really special for me.
Oh.
And so I think that more of us, we really need that because my first birthing experience wasn't that pleasant. And it was mostly because I felt like I was being rushed when there was no distress for the baby. And I had mentioned this in another podcast, the fact that I don't know where Sarah Sable is. Sarah Sable, that nurse, probably a new graduate, probably a new graduate, but she advocated for me. She was reamed out by the doctor. And she advocated for me. She went to midwives and she found out how to switch my position so that I can give a vaginal birth. And I think, you know, I want to talk a little bit about what's happening with Black mothers, because I have dealt with some bias, even for myself, and when with giving birth. And even just recently, my daughter had to have surgery, and I went, I went totally ballistic. Because I was not being heard.
I'm so glad that, like, during your first birth, you had that nurse, and then the second time around, you had a doula, because I think, like, one of the things that I notice over and over again is, like, as women, we have to show up for each other. And specifically as Black women, like, we're all we got sometimes. And I don't think that anyone comes into, like, helping people have their kids, whether it's an OB, a nurse, a midwife. I don't think anyone comes into it with bad intentions. I don't believe that. But it's like something happens where people just have their blinders on and their earplugs in, and they don't see you and they don't hear you. And you can be right in front of them in the pain of childbirth, like doing what people have tried to do for millennia. And it's like they don't believe you when you say that you need something, or when you say, like, even if it's just, I need more time, I need you to explain to me what's going on. Like, those are very basic things that we're all entitled to, I think, as just human beings. And especially if you're going through something that's as vulnerable and that can be as beautiful as birth. I'm glad that you had those people in your corner. And absolutely, like, we all deserve a more positive experience.
And I think you hit the nail on the head there of the fact that we really need each other. Like, one of the things with Sarah is that she worked through her, because there's 12-hour shifts, I believe, for nurses. So she worked through her shift. And she stayed until I gave birth. And I'm telling you, I'm telling you, Sarah had to be a new graduate.
That is that fresh energy.
You know, because she was young. She had this long blonde hair. I can picture her. I even have a photo of her cleaning the baby. She wasn't even on duty, you know. But she really pushed for me. And I was scared. And I just think that if I didn't have her, I would have made a choice. It was traumatic, by the way. And as I had mentioned to another midwife that I was talking to today, you know, when I was pushing her out, they didn't ease her out the first time. They were pulling down. They were pulling so hard and not really allowing me. And I've seen videos since then for me to vaginally be able to push her out with ease, right?
And tear naturally. Stretch and open. And I mean, because in most instances, and I will say we end up working with a decent number of, like, high risk moms. And so sometimes you need some medical help. Like, it's not that that's bad. It's just that there are times where all you need is more time. And all you need is for your body to do what it's going to do. And if you're already pushing the baby out, then, like, let the lady push the baby out. That's kind of where I fall, you know, unless someone is in distress. Like, if your baby's in distress, that's something different. But even then, like, now you've had a couple of births, and I've seen plenty of births where, like, there's time in between pushes to communicate with a woman. You can tell a mom what's going on. It's just that I think, just like all of us kind of get caught up in the day-to-day of our work, I think that sometimes medical providers, it's, you know, another Tuesday to them. And they don't take the time to realize, like, oh, not only are you having this huge shift in your life because you're bringing a baby into the world, you can't even see what's going on when you're pushing. And so, like, tell her what's happening. Like, she's still a thinking human being. Like,
yeah.
You absolutely, I'm just glad you had Sarah. That's all I can say. It sounds like Sarah saved the day.
Sarah saved the day for my first pregnancy, my doula for my second, reminded me to get the mirror because she made sure I had my mirror because I wanted to see me push out my daughter. Like, that was one thing I didn't get a chance to experience with my first. Mm-hmm. She was just, oh, goodness, she was just amazing. Jamie Bond, I think that's her name. Because it's been 9 years now, but I'm just so thankful. So let's get back to what you do too, because I think it's really important. What you talk a lot about the Black infant and maternity mortality rates. And I do want to highlight that for a little bit because there are actually high. And I actually, you know, I've seen personally some instances where things could have gone really wrong. Now, I'll give an example for one where it did, which was actually everywhere. There's a judge that was on television. I don't think she has her show anymore. I don't know if you remember this, Samantha.
Judge Hatchett?
Yes.
Yes.
And
I don't think she has her show anymore, but I remember.
Yeah. And her daughter, it was her daughter or daughter-in-law? I think it was her daughter.
I believe it was her daughter.
Wind up tragically dying. And being ignored for hours. She wound up hemorrhaging, I believe.
Yeah.
And this is someone that is affluent, you know?
Right.
So we're not talking about...
She has education.
Yes.
Like, she's not coming in blind, you know?
Exactly.
It is really not... And the women that we work with in, like, the D.C. metro area, you know, I don't know how much your listeners know, but like DC used to be known as Chocolate City in like a really uplifting, powerful way. Like, there is absolutely a tradition of like being Black or a person of color and having education and information. And also DC has some of the worst rates in the country for like maternal mortality, infant mortality for Black women. And it's not about the money in your pocket. It's not about your education, unfortunately, because like we see in these stories that it doesn't matter who you are at some point. It's about something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's tough. You know, of all the places that should be safe.
Yes.
You know, that's the best way I can put it. Yeah, it should be safe. You should feel like you're heard. Just and I have experienced not being heard and the medical provider or being told or gaslighted that I was thinking something differently when I called them out on their BS.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think we can do more of other than, of course, listening to this amazing podcast and listening to you talk? What can we do? You know, I mean, at this point, I'm at a loss. You know, I try to do my part. I try to empower as much people as I can. Mm-hmm. I try to even speak to my girls. I don't want them to take anything, you know, take anyone's junk. So what do you think about that based on your experiences?
Yeah, I think there are a few things we can do. And it can be a situation where you start to feel kind of helpless. As someone who like reads these statistics all the time, like, it can get a little rough. One thing that everybody can do, I think, is like childbirth education class. You know, the ability to like hire a doula. So when you hire a doula, we're on call. At the way that my team works, somebody is on call for you. Like, if you hire us at 20 weeks, then we're on call for the next 20 weeks, 22 weeks. So anything you need, you know, if you go into labor at any time, like, you will have your doula. So that's a very specific relationship, and it's not right for everybody. Some people are more private, or sometimes it is a cost issue. But childbirth education, like, I believe that that should be easily accessible. And I think that everybody should take a class. And like, if sitting in the class isn't right for you, listening to a podcast, reading a book, you know, we're in the information age where you can get more informed about how your body works, because we know they probably didn't teach you in sex ed class. Like, if you're old enough to be listening to this podcast, you probably didn't get great sex ed. I don't know what's going on for the kids now. But
like, or your mama telling you, don't come home pregnant. Like, right. That's...
Which is like, okay, that's helpful for a while, yeah. But then what about when you do? So yeah, we have to learn, like, how our bodies work,
yeah.
And what to expect. That's number one. I think everybody should take a childbirth education class. The next thing that I think is so important, and you already mentioned it a little bit, is like not just taking for granted what is happening to you. And I agree with you that absolutely, like, this should be a time when you're safe. And you should be able to trust the people that are supposed to be keeping you safe right now. Like, in a perfect world, you would just relax and grow a baby and then have a baby. In the world that we actually live in, though, like, we have to ask questions. If we feel uncomfortable with providers, especially because you're often seeing your OB every month and then every 2 weeks and maybe even every week at the end, you know, you might be in contact with the labor and delivery nurses. If you feel uncomfortable and something in your gut says, I don't trust these people, listen. Like, the same instincts that we talk about as like a woman's intuition or, you know, mom instincts, like, they start in pregnancy. And I believe that instincts are like our body telling us something that maybe consciously we can't recognize yet. You have to listen to your gut, like, especially as Black women and women of color. And really, I mean, in this country, we know that women generally, like, we're coming from behind in certain instances. And if you have, you know, people in power around you that are telling you things that you don't trust, like, we've all experienced that before as women, even if it's just a little boy in math class, you know, back in the day who wanted to talk over us. We know what that feeling sounds like.
Okay, yes.
And trust your gut. Like, you know when someone's not listening to you. And sometimes we get ourselves in trouble because we shush that little voice. And of course, I'm only talking about what we can do. You know, there is a whole system. Yeah. It should be different. And I never want to let it off the hook. And there are reasons why you shush that little voice. It's because, like, everyone in our life from a small girl tells us that, you know, we shouldn't talk back. We shouldn't, like, you know, be disrespectful. We should listen to the people in authority. So it's not that we're wrong for doing that. It's just that if we want to start to change some of these statistics and think about the things that we can fix, and that's what we have to do. And then from a, like, a bigger perspective, I think we absolutely have to hold hospitals accountable, doctors and midwives accountable. There is a bill in Congress right now, and politics are a whole thing. It's all a mess. But there, so, like, I don't know how anybody gets a bill through right now that is about helping women. But in theory, at least, there's a bill right now in Congress, and it's called the Momnibus. That's like M-O-M-N-I bus, like the kind you drive.
Get out of here. Okay.
Right. They made it real cute. And the idea is all about maternal health and really supporting moms. I think that we have to pay attention to things like that and look out for ourselves, both like in the actual delivery room and after we have our babies, and then from a bigger scale, you know, in Congress and the system that we have to change it.
Yeah. I really love the fact that you said this is an age of information and that we need to ask questions.
Yeah.
I think that was a very powerful statement because, as you stated, we are kind of taught just as women to be seen and not heard.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment you say something, she's a BITCH.
Yes.
She's an angry Black woman, you know, whatever it is. And I want to share with you and with listeners, I've never told this story before publicly, but my grandmother lost her first child. And she had a normal pregnancy. She lost a child during delivery. And she's 95. And when she recounted to me what happened to her and the fact that she was a nurse also,
Wow.
She's telling them they were taking their time. She was like, I'm ready to push. I'm ready to go. They were taking their time. And when they, and when she pushed her baby out, the baby was gone.
I'm so sorry.
And she had, she told me that experience because I wound up finding a picture of the child that she lost.
Yeah.
And she said that was the only thing that kept her from losing her mind. Now, she wound up having my father next and two more children after. But what was very difficult for her was that at that time, hospitals were segregated.
Yeah.
And the where she went, the doctors weren't willing to listen to her.
Yeah.
She was forced to go to a place that wasn't typically where she would want to go.
Yeah.
And I think hearing stories like that, and, you know, she's still here. This isn't that far away, and we're still dealing with issues that are happening right now in 2020, and it's sad.
Yeah, and the history, I think this year in 2020, you know, we've seen so many more people realize, like, the stuff that we think about is, like, in history books, it's not that long ago. Like, your grandmother still being alive, that's not that far back. Like, you know, those doctors very well could still be alive. And some of those same issues still come up. You know, I don't know if people remember, but when Serena Williams had her daughter, she told the story afterwards of, now let's keep in mind who Serena Williams is, right? So, like, she's got money. So there's that. She can afford excellent healthcare. And we can talk about how, like, your job shouldn't determine your healthcare, but that's another podcast. I have opinions, but focus. So, like, anything that's available, she can afford it. And not only that, but, like, she is incredibly healthy because she has to be for work. And she's very much in tune with her body in a way that most of us aren't, to be perfectly honest. Like,
her
body is her life, and it's a fine-tuned machine. And she says to the people taking care of her, to her medical providers, like, hey, I feel like something is off. And if memory serves me, she had actually experienced, I believe it was an embolism before. And so she knows what this feels like. And she's like, hey, something's wrong. And they don't listen to Serena Williams. Now, if they don't listen to Serena Williams, they're not going to listen to anybody.
Right, exactly. Who else you got?
Right. So, you know, we are not dealing with, we're not dealing with the past. We're dealing with the present. It's like a very clear present issue. It's been with us for a long time that women have died in childbirth. And in most other developed countries, it's gotten so much better. But here, it really hasn't. And a lot of that is driven by, you know, what we call these health disparities based around race. And also, I will say for the white women listening, hey, y'all, you too should be careful and should get educated and should really, like, believe that this can be an empowering experience and don't settle for less.
Yes, absolutely. It was after I learned about the doula that I found the documentary, The Business of Being Born. So I was like, I was on a whole nother level. I was on a whole nother level.
I bet that documentary has turned, like, many a woman into a soldier.
Okay. Like,
it's intense.
I was ready to go to bat with anyone, right? But I just feel like, you know, even my mother, even though she had six children of her own, she didn't even realize, you know. So I feel like conversations like this and the work and having women that like you who are courageous enough to develop businesses that empower other women leaves me hopeful, you know, for my own daughters when they go out and decide, if they so decide, you know, mm-hmm. to have children. And so I really appreciate what you do.
Thank you. I appreciate that you were able to like find what you needed. Even if it took you to a second pregnancy, you know, you were like given a gift in Sarah. I'm just in love with this nurse the first time around. And then the second time around, like you found what you needed. And I love my work. I think being a doula is amazing and important. I also never want to say that like we are the ones making all the change, because it's each individual birthing person, each woman, each family, like making the decision that, you know, they want to take charge of their birth. That's what's going to change the system, like continuing to hold doctors accountable and just expect better and not settle for any less. Like that's what changes things. And we're absolutely here to help you do it. But I really believe in like making sure that the power stays in the hands of the women that are like, I mean, y'all are getting the babies out. I'm like sitting next to you. That was hard.
Oh man. All right. Please tell the listeners, I know that you do more than just your work with helping women in the pregnancy, birth, and postpartum period, but mm-hmm. tell us a little bit more about the programs that you offer and then let them know where they can find you.
Yes. So DC Metro Maternity, we work in the DC, kind of suburban Maryland. We get up to Baltimore sometimes, and the Northern Virginia area. We are a team of doulas of color. There are six of us, and we have a great time. We teach childbirth education classes because we're in the midst of a pandemic. They are virtual. And so it's still going. Like I said, I believe in childbirth ed. We offer labor support, and so we can start with you during pregnancy, meet with you for your birth plan. It does not have to be an unmedicated birth. It doesn't have to be a vaginal birth. We love supporting people in finding like the right path for them, including cesareans. And we're there on the day of in whatever way you need us to be. And then we also support people when they become moms, like that time period that we call postpartum. It doesn't have to be that postpartum is just postpartum depression. It's actually just like this really beautiful, vulnerable time period where someone should be taking care of you while you learn to take care of this new baby or babies, whatever has happened for you. And so we're with people during that time as well. You can find us at dcmetromaternity.com and on Instagram and Facebook at dcmetromaternity. We're all over the internet. And I love helping people in that way. Oh, and depending on when you're listening to this, we may actually have already released or soon to be releasing a new course. And it's going to be specifically about how you get through the medical system and have a baby in a way that feels empowered and happy and whole, especially if you are going into a hospital system. Maybe you're high risk, maybe you're particularly anxious. Like, we are your people and we want to help you through.
Awesome. Well, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show, Samantha. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I hope that you continue to just stay empowered and like raise those girls right.
Yes, absolutely. I got one sneaking in right now.
Of course. Okay.
Listeners, you can't see her, but she popped in at least two or three times during the interview and you couldn't see me, but I was like. All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review.
Like us on Facebook. see you next time.